Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.
Greetings to all of you listening around the world, and a warm welcome as we bring you another edition of the Answers for the Family radio show. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and back with us today is my co-host, Dr. Matt Polacek. Now, for those of you who are new listeners to the show, Matt is a nationally recognized expert spokesperson on mental health and substance use disorder issues. He utilizes his experience and expertise to lead the Betty Ford Center's outpatient services as its director. Matt, it's great to have you back.
Well, it's great to be back here in studio, Alan. And although I wasn't here physically, I was listening in and, again, getting the opportunity to learn and grow from the show. For me, the Answers for the Family show really is it's basically my school, you know, my adult school, where each week I can listen to excellent leaders in our community and actually all across the world and gain knowledge. And we're experiencing a time right now where technology and science has really grown a lot. And we're learning more and more from that world. And we're learning a lot from the way our culture is changing. And there's so many interesting points coming up in our society and community right now that are interesting to talk about. And the show, I think, does an excellent job of connecting everyday life with, you know, again, the research and technology that we have. So I'm really excited to be back and be with you. And for the listeners out there who only know Alan for this from this show, Alan's an international detective and president of West Shield Adolescent Services, a known leader in crisis intervention and therapeutic transportation. If you're a regular listener to our show, thank you for joining us once again. And if this is your first time, please make yourself comfortable as we bring you answers for the family. Now, each week, this show will address issues such as locating your runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more.
And we will continue to bring you top professionals in many of the helping fields and dynamic authors who are all working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, today, we're going to talk about our power within. And let's start by putting some questions on the table. So, Matt and our listeners, do you feel that you're powerful?
I do sometimes. Do you feel that you're wonderful?
Yeah, most of the time. Do you feel valued?
Yeah, in most situations I do. Do you feel respected?
Sometimes. But according to our guest, how we feel about these subjects and much of our happiness or unhappiness is self-created and have roots tied in our youth. With us today to discuss these questions and more is Cynthia Mazzaferro. Cindy is a highly acclaimed motivational speaker, number one Amazon best-selling author, energy and intuitive healer, Reiki master, and life coach.
As a retired physical therapist of over 30-plus years and previous owner of an ergonomic company, she performed work site analysis and spent thousands of hours training and teaching individuals on injury empowerment and stress reduction.
Cindy now empowers people in their personal growth, health, and purpose. As a master of intuitive connection, Cindy is able to bridge the voice of your soul to the truth of your heart. Your spiritual journey is wonderful, magnificent, and filled with awe and wonder.
Cindy's new inspirational and transformational book, Powerful Beyond Measure, explores your past, empowers your present, and envisions your future filled with purpose, passion, and miracles. In this book, she guides you to come alive to your power within, where all things are possible. Cindy, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Hello, and thank you for having me on your show, both Matt and Alan. Appreciate that.
You're welcome, and no pressure. I mean, with that lead-in, you hold a lot of power here.
Well, we all do. It's whether we claim it or not.
I love it. And, you know, as Alan and I were talking before the show, we were discussing, you know, happiness in general. And, you know, as people, you know, do we deserve to be happy? Should we be happy? And, you know, there seems to be this focus on happiness in today's kind of world and culture. But the one thing that, you know, reading the book and starting to kind of do research, I learned is that people are very unhappy in general. And why do you feel that people, you know, in our current society are experiencing such unhappiness?
Well, we look at everything from our viewpoint, our perception at a moment. And so by doing that, even from the very youngest of ages, even to our adult life now, we look at it from a point of lacking. Someone else has something better. I wish I was more ambitious and went after that job promotion or spoke up in the meeting. We're always ridiculing, judging, criticizing ourselves, or we're blaming others. And we live in a world, most of us, that feel very much dysfunctional, that we are always putting ourselves down. Somebody has it better. Their life is better. Their situation is better. And we long for something more. And so there's always this discontent within ourselves.
Now, Cindy, as someone who has traveled all over the world, I've met people in countries where there's just immense poverty. And yet I find that many of them are incredibly happy. I remember being in the Dominican Republic, and I'm watching a group of boys playing soccer barefoot on a gravel field and laughing and running and jumping, and just it was so much joy in what they were doing that it just really made me wonder, with all of the things that we have, why are we so focused on the negative?
That's a really great question, and I think you're exactly right, that we often don't see exactly the joys that we have present in our life. We look at it from a place of lacking, of not having, and that often stems from, I believe, I've seen and worked with so many clients and individuals and patients as a physical therapist, that we actually take on this type of energy, this expectation, from years much younger in our earlier development. And it's a perception that continues to permeate and into our lives now. And it's also part of the culture that we live in, that the more we have, the better we are. And the grass is not always greener on the other side of the road. We know of, you know, NBA players or NFL players that are movie stars, musicians that commit suicide. These are people who are billionaires and that have everything and are so discontented and are so unhappy within themselves.
You know, someone once told me to not compare the inside of myself to the outside of someone else. And I heard earlier you saying that a lot of what's coming out of this is trying to compare ourselves to others, and then we kind of do this negative self-talk process. Do you feel that the root of this is in comparing to other? And is this something that starts in early childhood? Or, you know, what's your take on that?
Personally, I also believe that every one of us, we're a spirit inside our physical skin, our, you know, structural body. And that as a spirit, I think ultimately all of us are growing and learning to advance spiritually. And that ultimate lesson is self-love and seeing that we are completely adequate, even with our imperfections, and that we don't need to go and ask for more of this and more of this, and often just material things, that we actually have everything that we need within ourselves, and that when you come to see and honor that space within yourself, see your divine presence, your spirituality, the beautiful gifts that you have that are unique to yourself, you can become very much embodied and empowered in living a life of satisfaction, of joy and completion, and really giving to the world that's very specific and unique to yourself.
Now, in the book, you refer quite a bit to the power within. So let's talk about what is the power within you refer to, and how do we connect with it, and how does that impact our life?
For me, the power within is exactly what I was just referring to. The power within is a state of being, of oneness, of understanding who you are and coming to learn to love who you are. And there's an immense amount of power in that acceptance. And let me go back for a little bit to understand why it is that we need to relearn who we are. When you're born and you're incarnated into this world in the physical form, you are perfect. You know, we all have seen these little infants that smile, and there's no reservations, there's no limitations. You're in awe of the rain falling from the sky and the first food that you eat, and everything is just totally blissful and joyful. And that somewhere as you continue to grow, anatomically we know that the brain is immature until the age of around 8, and that it's like a sponge and it sucks up information. And so at every one of us, no matter if we have the most idyllic family dynamics, you're still going to have a perception of something that's coinciding with a spiritual soul lesson that you're learning over the lifetime of your physical life here. So you could have the perfect family. Let's say you have 4 children, you know, 4 siblings, and the older one is always responsible for taking care of the younger ones because both the parents work, they're out farming or working. And so the older parent, the older child takes on this role of, I'm responsible for the health, the welfare, the happiness, handling their problems of all my siblings. And that's the way they feel that they're honored, the way they feel they're loved, the way they belong within this family. And often they'll continue to take on that same role, expectations of their perception of who they are, who they're supposed to be, as they go through their life. And I have seen so many times people, I've been just at the airport the other day, a few days ago, and there was this 2 sisters that are coming back from vacation, and there was definitely one you could see older, and she says, did you check to make sure your suitcase has your name on it? And they were both like 60 and 50. It's like, when do you stop being responsible for your younger siblings? And carrying that weight, that perception actually changes who you feel you are. You don't have the freedom to just be able to be you. It's always about someone else and taking care of their needs. And this creates also, can create also physical symptoms as well as the internal unrest that usually often permeates.
When you discuss physical symptoms and describing that scene at the airport, the first thing I think of is the word anxiety. And I think of a young girl with her sister feeling pressure to remember these things. And are you alluding to, you know, in the book it says not all physical symptoms have physical origins, which I love. But is this kind of what you're alluding to?
Exactly. So this particular, this older sister that I just kind of talked about this, well, it wasn't fictitious, it just happened, but I don't know them. She actually, you could tell the way she held her neck, she actually probably has neck pain. Maybe it radiates into her arm, and it was on the left side that I could, as a physical therapist, see this posturing, and she probably has been carrying the weight of all her family's responsibilities on her shoulders. We kind of think of the atlas where he's carrying the atlas on his shoulder. He's carrying the weight of the world. And she probably has now created such an energy stagnation, and we can talk about that if you want a little bit too, but the internal energy where we're holding our pain creates physical symptoms if we don't change the inner pain and the inner energy that resides with that. So for this woman, it was the left side of your upper body actually usually reflects a woman. So she was carrying on pain, carrying on responsibilities on her left shoulder, which usually would be a feminine or a maternal type of energy. Now, it could be a man, but it could be a man that was more of a maternal or feminine energy. So it's very interesting. The left side of the upper body above the waist is female. The right side of the upper body is male. And as it crosses at the pelvis, it changes. So the left leg would represent a man, and the right lower extremity would represent a woman. I've had people, let's say, have a bunion, or really severe hammer toes or a bunion on their leg, on their foot, and it might be the left foot. And I say, so which man in your life do you feel that you're always bumping into, or that you can't move forward? And he goes, well, how did you know that? I said, well, because your physical symptoms are telling me. And they might tell me it was the father, it could be a boss, whatever. And so when we work through the emotional issues that allows this particular client to feel that he can't move forward, that he's always coming to a rock in the road, if you will, where he's hitting into it, and it's causing this energy inside of him to feel like his path forward is always encumbered, and that there's resistance, and that changes, almost like blood flow, it changes the energy flow, and it creates physical symptom. And once we worked on the inner emotional component, his foot pain totally went away.
Wow. Now, do you find that there is a similar correlation to people who maybe, we've heard the term, you know, hold their stress in their stomach or they hold it in their head? Is there a difference? And I know people who have chronic stomach issues. And,
right.
You know, and
that's a great question.
Right. And then there are other people that seem to have chronic migraines. What is the right. correlation there?
Well, the different organs in areas of our body represents different things. And in my book, it actually goes through them and gives you a kind of a template as to consider. So for someone that has stomach problems, that's your power station. So that's typically an individual who feels that they are powerless, that they have no control of their life, they're dominated, they're submissive. It could be also they don't have a voice, which also would be affected in their throat, but by not having a voice, they feel like they're powerless. They can't say their truth. They can't speak up to the intimidating husband or their children that might even be intimidating. But this is usually a patterning that continues to repeat throughout their life. This didn't just happen in an adult relationship. This is usually a way of behavior, a learned expectation, almost what they expect and they think they deserve because this is what they've experienced when they were very young. So someone that has it in the head would be more that they're always trying to create control in their life. They want to, usually the head is more of a masculine energy. For men, and even a woman that maybe it's a matriarch of a family, but if they have more masculine energies, they're much more project-oriented. They want to get to the finish point. They're much more structured. They think about everything through the mind, processing. They always, the mind's telling them, well, don't forget, you failed at this 3 years ago when you tried to quit smoking, so why try again? You're going to quit again. You're going to fail. Why set yourself up for failure? So this is what this mental processing, constant unrest of not sure how to proceed would be an area that you might get migraines or headache or stress that you feel in your front or your portions of your head.
And did this, you know, you were 30 years a physical therapist, did this concept basically unintendedly stumble to you as you were working with people and started noticing patterns?
Absolutely, yes, for sure. I had one woman who came in with an acute episode of hip pain, and she's, you know, we were doing rehab, and you start to talk to the client, and she's saying that, you know, I never had hip problems, and my, you know, it's really so painful to get out of the chair, can't walk. And I said, well, what's going on in your life? She goes, well, my husband died 6 months ago, and it's, you know, I'm just getting back, trying to get into my own, you know, routine, and it's really hard, she'll say, it's really hard to be able to stand up and know what to do or know which decision, which road I should take, and I'm so unsure of the path and the decision I'm supposed to make. He always did the bills, he always drove, I feel like I just can't go forward. And so as you hear I'm saying these things, there's so many phrases and words that are talking about ambulation, standing up, having support for herself. And so that when you start to work on the internal emotional part of her realizing that you're a strong woman, that you have raised all these children, that you and your husband were co-partnership, that even though he drove, that you often drove your children too, that when your husband made decisions, did you participate in that? She said, oh, yes. And then I would show, then you can also, you know, seek additional advice if you feel you need it, but that you were part of that. You weren't ambivalent where you had no action or interaction. So it's kind of getting her to actually realize she can step into her power within, that greatness, and to be able to express that in her life. And you can see that when you do that, then the physical symptoms would actually just also go away or get worse if you don't do them.
It's fascinating, and as I'm hearing you talk, part of me feels like on some level, it's your body's natural way of trying, maybe not natural, but your body's way of trying to handle whatever the stress is. And it's up to us, I guess, to determine really what is healthy and what is not healthy and how does it kind of manifestates in your body, correct?
Right. So maybe we could just do a little exercise here. Okay.
Okay.
So can I put you on the spot?
Absolutely.
Okay. So Alan.
Alan, you can.
Okay. Oh, Matt, don't tell me you don't want to get involved. But for, and I would encourage all the listeners to do this as we do it. Because we all have situations that happen in our life from moment to moment. You get a phone call that you're aggravated about, a bill that you can't pay, whatever. So it happens in life. Okay, we're going to be triggered. And so if you could just, Alan, think about something that may be going on in your life. You don't have to disclose it unless you feel comfortable. And just say, you know, when you're thinking on that, where do you feel that in your body? Where do you feel the stress or the discomfort, or could even be pain, could be tingling, it could be lots of different feelings.
In my shoulders and in my neck.
Okay, what side is greater than the other, right or left?
Right lately.
Okay, great. And if you give it a number from 1 to 10, 10 being very high, what would that be?
It's probably a 5.
Okay, and is the back of your shoulder like your scapular area, or would it be more the front of your shoulder?
The back.
Okay, so that typically would mean masculine energy that you is kind of like picking at you in the neck. It's like a thorn on your in your neck area. That's kind of maybe someone you need to confront. Maybe someone that has confronted you, and you feel like, oh, I'm just, you know, have to deal with this pressure again. Is there something like that that's going on in your life?
Yeah, there's something to where I feel that I should be doing more in a particular area, and I feel at times that I'm being caught up in the thick of thin things.
Okay. And so, and that might be, if I worked with you as a client, we would go back and, you know, as you told me your history, you might realize there's been times in your young years, and as you got older, continued on, that when you have stress and you feel like you need to be more verbal or more decisive in the action you need to take, or inaction sometimes too, but making actionable steps as to what you're going to do and how you're going to deal with the stress, you may not always come forthright as quickly as you should. And that creates internal unrest within yourself. You get disappointed, like, okay, so Alan, why aren't you saying something to Mr. X? Or why aren't you deciding to do this? Why does it take you so long? You're feeling stressed. You're getting now more angry. You might be having more resentment towards this person. So there's lots of feelings that could be coming up. Are any of those coming up for you as you haven't done something that you feel maybe you should be doing?
Yeah, but it's usually towards myself. I get more angry with myself because I've made a decision to do something that may not have as important a priority as what I think the other thing would, but maybe I made the decision because I thought that it helped others in a more immediate situation.
So you notice how this is really a great example. So you're judging yourself, okay? And so you're never finding harmony in this. You're never coming to peace with your ultimate decision. And your decision, which it sounded like, and if you heard yourself, you actually said it was really based on how it was going to be perceived by others instead of you making a decision that you feel is best in your knowledge of information that you're choosing to do, and that you have to trust and have that power within yourself to realize, I have to trust I'm a really wonderful, caring man, and that I'm making this choice to do or not to do whatever the action you're choosing to take, that I have to trust this is the best for them and for me, and then to find harmony and peace in that statement.
That sounds good to me. Now, for anybody out there, if you're also doing this, I found myself starting to close my eyes. If you're driving, please don't do that.
Yes, please don't. Listen to the radio station after and redo it yourself. But it's really important. And when you start to also even just doing a simple breathing thing, if you are driving or sitting listening, just say, for example, if we can just go continue with yours, Alan, mm-hmm. saying, I recognize that I feel stress under this situation, breathing out, recognizing it, and that based on the information I have, that I feel what resonates best for me inside, what's not necessarily best for everyone else, I have to be true and honest to myself. What's best for me is to make this decision. And I think we get so caught up into trying to solve everyone else's problems that that creates so much unrest within ourselves, that because what happens is that individual outside of you, they're going to do just what they want, and that you have ultimately no control of their actions or inactions. So that all this effort, all this wonderful loving effort that you're trying to put to solve their problems, that's not your business. That's their business. You can be empathetic, you can be loving, you can be a great listener, you can offer support in other ways, but they need to live their life, they need to handle their problem. Those problems are not your problems.
Well, I understand. And I think, though, that many of us, because we've chosen this field, I think that there's sort of an expectation at that point. We've chosen a field, we've done it for most of our life, where we're there for others. And at times I get concerned that if I'm not there, will they then feel like, you know, they've been let down, or that the help that has been provided up to that point maybe wasn't as sincere?
So my answer to you is that, and this is what I say to people, is that your greatest gift that you can give anyone is empowerment. And that you, for me, when I work with my clients, I try to inspire them that they can make the right choices. Even if they're the wrong choices, there's potential growth there. That's how they learn and grow. And that I can't rob them of their potential of growth. This is their life, that I care very much about them. I'm there to help them see how they're acting, how they're interpreting things, how they may want to act and move forward. But it is their life to live. It's not our life to live for them. And that is so important. You know, when you talk about family, I love your show. And when it comes to family dynamics, our families are not static. We have many energies running in our family. People rush home from school. They rush home from work. We got to get our home. We got to get to the sports, get the baths done, get the laundry done, feed the supper, make the supper, everyone eat. Everyone's on their texting on their phones and stuff. It's a lot of energy. And that we cannot, as a parent, as a mother or father, you cannot live your child's life. You cannot solve their problems. You can help them to understand their feelings, understand their difficulties, understand their struggles, and that's all great, allowing them to express their energies, their emotions, their feelings. We don't want them trapped inside. That causes illness. We want them to reveal what they're feeling. And then through that process, say, okay, I'm going to say my little son's name is Scotty. So, Scott, I really appreciate you're sharing this with me. I understand this is a really stressful time at school. So what would be some options that you could take and use that could help you handle this? So the parent's not solving the problem. The child is being empowered that you trust them, that you know they have this power in them, that they can make this decision and become a very independent person. Now, whether it's a child you're talking to or whether it's a client or whether it's your parents, even someone older than you, the greatest gift you can give someone is to say, I trust that you're going to make the best decision, and even if it's not the perfect one, it's okay, that you need to make this decision for yourself, and empowering someone is so, so important.
That's great. So, Matt, I trust you're going to run the show great. I'm going to go catch a plane, and I'll see everybody later.
And that's okay. Didn't he just take a little break? And maybe you need to have a step away and say, and I trust it will be good. It might not be the same show because your energy's not part of it, and that's okay. Because the listeners that come when Matt runs it will be perfect for Matt's solo show.
All right. Well, we do have a question coming in from a listener. And again, we want to thank the listeners that take the time to do this. This one reads, as a teacher, I am unable to listen to this show live, but the weekly press release provided a much appreciated link to your information. Cynthia, I really enjoyed what I read on your website. I downloaded your free materials and have ordered your book. My question is about your healing activations. I would like to share this with some friends, but would like to know a little more about these sessions. And then in parentheses they have, I'll be listening tonight.
Well, healing activations are different meditations that I was doing that often sometimes had Reiki energy infused in it too. And I pick a different topic each month, some forgiveness, some as empowerment, some as courage and confidence, so different themes over the months. And we work on creating energy release. These are areas that would be energy trapped in your body, and it creates a healing activation. It's through this beautiful release, and I have another wonderful meditation that's fabulous called Heart's Home of Healing Meditation, and that I actually take you through four chambers of your heart where you release the energy debris, the pains, the concepts, the beliefs, the negative components that you hold within yourself, and release it through our heart, because our heart is our feeling organ, our emotional organ. So when you go through this heart, you actually can release that. And I can give that as a free gift to your audience, which is on my website. Also is in my book. It's www.cynthiamezzaferro.com/heart-home-of-healing-meditation. And that's free, and it will just give you this beautiful, with music in the background and my voice, that will take you through your heart's chamber to release this. And it's just really important for everyone to understand that we are all energy, and emotions are energy. Our thoughts are energy. Everything that we see visually, we touch, everything has an energetic component to it. And the more we learn to understand how we feel and experience our emotions and what's going on around us, that we choose, we can be empowered and have a choice as to how we're going to allow that to affect us. And this is what's so important. When you have this understanding, it allows you to become powerful beyond measure, which is the name of my book.
You know, I was talking to a friend a week ago, and he was kind of expressing his frustration towards me, and I'll share the argument with you because I think it really fits with what we're discussing. And he had talked to me about, you know, a lot of the work that I focus on with my patients is, you know, old school CBT of cognitive distortions. And in the book, you talk a lot about how our past, you know, still continue to impact our present and our future. And then he said to me, but Matt, you're always harping on being present and doing meditation and breathing, which to me are two separate ideas, one looking in the past and one focusing on being in the moment. And I was kind of baffled when he's had that conversation with me, because I really didn't know what the best kind of way to answer it is, because I've seen the amazing benefits of utilizing stuff like in your book and doing breathing and being present. But I think it's also important to have that knowledge of past roles that we've played and cycles and maladaptive beliefs and thoughts and all that stuff. How do you wean the two together?
What you said is exactly right. To me, information, knowledge is power. And that when you continue to live a life not understanding, why am I still in this defunctive relationship? Why am I still in poverty? Why am I still feeling I'm not smart enough? All these negative things. If you don't realize where it's coming from and you want to take ownership of it, say, oh my gosh, you mean that's why I don't feel I'm smart? Because all my siblings told me I was stupid. Mm-hmm. And because when I came home and I showed my parents my spelling test and I got two wrong where everyone else got 100%, they said, well, this is good, but you could do better. So if you can say, my gosh, I've been chasing this nightmare my whole life, and it came from when I was 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and I started to believe I'm not going to be smart enough. I'm never going to be smart enough. And so this is an energy, this is a belief that you, in almost in your DNA, that you have to say, no longer will I ever think this again? And when I do, I'm going to catch myself and say no to my mind, because your mind is only a computer. And the only job your mind wants to do is to protect you from pain and death. Okay, mm-hmm. So if your mind says, okay, well, don't go and take that extra hard test. Take the easier test. You know, don't go into the next level of certification, let's say. And so you're hearing this. You're hearing this in your mind because it says, remember, the last time you took this test, you failed it. Or no one recognized that you passed it, so why bother putting the effort into it? So you're hearing this inner chatter. And you now know, because you've identified the past wound, you've identified this past false belief that you took on, and you say now in the present moment, this is where you then take this information, this knowledge, in the present moment you say, wait a minute, this snapshot, this photograph I'm holding on to in my mind is a photograph, is an imprint that no longer is true because I choose not to believe it. And so you're going to change the energy and say, listen, maybe there is one time I failed at that extra test or I didn't do as well as I had hoped. But you know, there's lots of times I was really successful. And then you go through all the times you were successful. And you start to create a new patterning, a new belief to change that behavior. And what's really most important here, Matt, is you can't just keep doing self-talk. You have to be willing to step into the area you're most uncomfortable with. So if education of feeling respected and knowledgeable is your caveat here that you're really working on, it's the area of focus that you need to address, mm-hmm. then you want to present situation, which the universe is happy to provide, by the way. The universe will continue to keep providing opportunities for you to have to put on those special kind of boots, I call them shit-kicking boots, or your stiletto heels, whatever it might be. You put on those fancy shoes or boots, and you step into it and say, I'm going to step into this. The universe is presenting me this scenario because this is offering me my greatest growth. And I can see that I am powerful. I can see that I have this ability. And that false belief I've been listening is totally a lie.
Yes, Cindy, I absolutely love that. And I hope that those people out there listening understand all of the many applications that they can use for this. What I was thinking of while you were saying that was there are so many of the young teens that we have transported to specialized programs, and while we're talking to them, either in the car or on the plane, I can't tell you how many of them have said, as we're talking about something intelligence-wise or whatever, and they'll say, well, yeah, but you know, my parents said that you know my sibling is the smart one and that I should concentrate more on my looks, or vice versa, you know, where they've said, well, you know, you better get really smart because you're not that good-looking. And it just mm-hmm. it kills me that I'm talking with them and I'm trying to reinforce to them that is not accurate and that's not something that they need to be focusing on. But yet I realize that, you know, I'm spending 3 or 4 hours with them, and yet, you know, in this case, their parents have spent 15 years with them, really cementing in some areas that are not good for them. So I love the way that you've explained that, because that seems like the perfect way that many of us out there that have heard something like that in our youth can take from it and be able to, as you said, take that snapshot, take something that's going to empower them and realize they're not, quote, the dumb one of the family or the ugly one of the family. So thank you for that.
Yes, thank you. And that is really powerful moments that you and hours that you get to really be a shining star. And this is your, what I call a spiritual gift. This is where your passion is. This is where your heart lies. And it's difficult. These are children or adults in crisis that, you know, you're there for them. And you're that earth angel there to help support them. And I still always, I'm an inspirator. I am an empowerer. I love, and I think for me, the most important thing you can say to them, from my point of view, is that they are truly a divine spirit. And just like you, and if they believe in a greater God or a creator, that we are part of that. And that is an energy, a vibration to that. and that no matter what anyone says, you get to choose whether or not you take that in or not. And just because they say it does not mean it's true. You know, I've always heard this once, and when someone rapes you, and then you stick around and you let them batter you again, you can only be raped once. It's if you stay around, you're giving them permission to. So if you're ever in a very volatile, unsafe situation, there are so many resources out there. You need to believe and know that you do not deserve that treatment by anyone, and that you need to seek solace, you need to seek refuge, you need to seek security and safety for you and or your children, and that you deserve this. This is your divine right. And that I encourage anyone, if you're in that type of situation, that you are so important in this world, and that your growth, your spiritual growth, is eminent, where you need to know and learn that you are important. And it doesn't matter what anyone else is saying, that you need to honor yourself, to learn and grow and see the beautiful person that you are. And that is where it is. It's not that someone's telling you you're fat or ugly or you need to, you know, wear your hair different or you need to be smarter. That cannot go into you unless you let that go into you, that information. And that's part of personal responsibility and empowerment. I'm sure you agree, Alan, that we have to take personal responsibility of how we let people influence us, how we let situations impact you. Alan, I can't make you angry or I can't make you upset unless you choose to allow what I say to make you upset. I mean, we do have a personal choice whether we accept that or not.
Well, you're absolutely right. And again, in these situations, you know, the truly sad part about it is that we don't know at what age that this started with these children. So again, it's just to let these parents know that what you say has a profound effect on your children. So think about it before you start making comments that are going to plant seeds that you really don't want taking growth.
Exactly. But I will also introduce this, and this is, I believe that we all have to grow as a spirit. And that's why we've come to this physical earth, okay? So we are going to take on some misconception. That's going to happen because that's our perception. Okay, so the best way as parents, I think our role is to try to empower our children to understand what they feel their shortcomings are or how they're perceiving their role in the family is. You know, when you're sitting down at the family supper table, say, today we're going to go through a little exercise here, and we're going to ask everyone to say, what is their greatest strength that they feel they bring to the family? And then they go around after they hear everyone. And after everyone says something, you can actually do it right away. Let's say someone says, well, I always pick up the toys from mom and dad. That really reduces stress for them. And we'll say, yeah, that really does. That's a really big helper. That's really great that you do that. And then you could say, well, how does that make you feel when you do that? And the person might say, well, I really am angry sometimes because I feel like, why should I be picking up my other sisters and brothers' toys when they're the ones that made the mess? All of a sudden, the parents can now respond and say, well, maybe that is true. Maybe we've always had it be that way when they were very young infants or toddlers, and that's just a role she continues to take on. Maybe we need to restructure that and say, you know what, maybe it is right. Maybe whoever makes the mess has to clean up the mess, and it shouldn't be only on this one child who feels it's her daunting responsibility.
Do you feel that, you know, when we talk about anger, and I'm thinking while you're speaking that a lot of the anger that we experience in childhood is really, again, a comparison game. And to me, we keep coming back to this idea of comparing to others. And I look at I know I'm kind of all over the place with this question/comment, but I look at the Kim Kardashians of the world and the people who are garnering attention, and I would say anger from some of the, quote, family values type community members, and saying this isn't what I want my daughter to grow up looking at, and there seems to be an anger behind it. You know, I guess the question I'm proposing to you or posing to you is, you know, is a lot of this based on this idea of comparison instead of focusing on self and self-growth? We're spending too much energy thinking about other. And in reality, you know, as parents, we play such a huge role in impacting our kids, a much bigger role. And then we have a much bigger opportunity. And so it's almost like, you know, focus that's unnecessary.
Absolutely. Yes, I totally agree. I mean, if parents took on the role of really empowering their children to take on anything and everything, and that if they fail for that lack of, I hate that word, but for if they don't, you know, only one person can win the race, but you can come in 15th and still be the victor. You know, so I mean, it's not an end point where there's a top of the mountain that says that now you're the best. We don't have to be the best. It's about learning and enjoying what we're doing and striving and following our heart's passion. And when you allow that to grow within your family dynamics, it's really not just individually. It's individually, but then there's a collective whole within the family. It's when both, all of those dynamics come together that your whole family totally changes, and how it works, how the respect happens, the communication. And it's just amazing how that then starts to work in a different way. But yes, comparing is a big problem in our world.
Now, how do you feel about some of the changes that have happened in our school system where they're no longer keeping score? That has been an issue from kindergarten to where they're not allowed to keep score. And in fact, as a room parent, I actually got chastised one time for organizing a volleyball game in the middle of recess and got sent to the principal because I was keeping score. So this appears to be a huge change in what many of us were raised to look at. So what is your thoughts on that? On that subject,
I think that unfortunately, when new curriculum, new ideas come, they take them to the extreme. I think that there is order. I think by saying that we can't keep score because that means someone's a winner and someone's a loser. No, I think we need to reframe mm-hmm. participation, that let's play the game, enjoy the game. These are the rules. We need to learn rules. We have structure, society rules. You know, there's order. We need to have, there's rules in the classroom. Maybe there's not a score, but you have rules. You have to be at this class at 9 o'clock, this class at 10 o'clock. Well, and if you're late, then, you know, you get punished or, you know, there's a repercussion for it. So, I mean, you know, they take things to the extreme. I also know there's lots of schools that are now doing meditations prior to the start of the day, giving him a couple minutes before a test, and they find the children do better in their scores on a test, or even just the outcome if they don't keep scores, when they're more relaxed and able to believe in themselves without the stress of what's going to happen. Am I going to make the right answers? Trusting in oneself is so powerful. And that's, so I think there's a lot of, we're trying to find balance. I mean, how many times we've waited for someone to pick us to go on that team? You know, we've done that in gym class where, okay, we have two captains. Now you pick one from the line, you pick one, you take turns, and you maybe use the last three people in the line to get picked. So what do those three people think? Nobody likes me. I'm not athletic. I'm not good at this sport. So that's a terrible concept, right? So is it better to maybe go A, B, A, B, A, B, A, B, you know, and then the A's are make one team, the B makes one team. But the point is that we are impacted. It's our perception in it, and that hurts, and there's an emotional part to it. But we have to take ownership and realize, what are we going to do with this energy? Are we going to let it stay inside our body, become toxic, and create unhealth? And that's what happens. Our inner health becomes dysfunctional, becomes stagnant, and it affects our physical life in the outside. If we don't feel we're good at something, then we're not going to participate in the physical life outside. We're not going to participate. We know we're not going to succeed at it. So what and how we feel inside absolutely affects the way and how we live our outside.
Well, Cindy, thank you so much. Unfortunately, we are about out of time. For everybody out there, the book is powerful beyond measure. And I want to share one more thing, is that many people I know, and I'm probably guilty as well, we read a book and we make changes for about a week, and then we kind of go back into old habits. Well, I learned that, Cindy, you also have the Powerful Beyond Measure Summit. So I just want to share a little bit about where people can get information in regards to that. So correct me if I'm wrong, but they go to powerfulbeyondmeasuresummit.com. If anybody out there, if you're driving, if you can't write that down, go to our website, answersforthefamily.com. We will have that information on there. Cindy, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Alan. It's been a great conversation. I really feel that we were able to address a lot of topics, and I hope your listeners were able to get a lot of information on what to do and how to change their lives.
Thank you so much. And everyone out there, please be sure to put us on your calendar and tune in next Monday when we are joined by John Kim, the author of The Angry Therapist, A No BS Guide to Finding and Living Your Own Truth. I have already read this book twice. I love it. I love it. I love it. John actually brings up a very interesting point that ties into what we talked about today. And what he said really is that we need to think about how we want to be remembered as people, which is a lot different than how we want to be perceived. When we talk about being perceived, that's about instant gratification and focusing on approval and validation. But he poses the question, how do we want to be remembered? We will talk to him about that and his book. And please, everyone out there, share our show with your friends. We all know someone who could use a little more power within, or suggest they visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com. And the next time you are on Facebook or Twitter, remember to stop by our page and check out some of our latest posts. And if you like them, please like or follow us and help spread the word.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Be good humans.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.